from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Off the bye week, we're back talking some off-season NHL, some hockey, our blue shirts around the league, bluebluechow.com. is our website. Audio archive episodes on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Podcast Republic, tune in your Stitcher apps. We were off last week during the July 4th week, so we got to play some little bit of catch up, but there was a lot of noise around the NHL with our team, around the whole entire league, as a matter of fact. But nonetheless, but let's talk to Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud, writer for Elite Sports New York. Ranger Proud, of course, on Facebook as well. Our Pizzles, good to talk with you. Let's talk some Rangers hockey, man. How's everything, man?
Everything's great. It's been a good couple of weeks for the Rangers. It's been some good news. Starting to look like a team. Can't wait for October to start.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we could talk about the contract for Panarin. I'm pretty sure, I don't think you're going to even find too many Ranger fans that's not happy with this contract, that's even including me. This is a good signing. What does Panera bring to the table as far as these rebuild, or this is beyond a rebuild at this point when you sign a guy for that kind of money for 11.25 million? What's your thoughts, man, as far as the fit and as well as the contract and just moving forward to just that day with Panera last week?
I think the contract is what everyone thought the contract was going to be. You know, 11.6 is a nice 7-year deal. 27 years old, his prime. He's the goal scorer that we've been to see for, what, the last 2-3 years that we've been doing the podcast. That one guy that you can electrify the ice, and whenever he touches the puck, something happens. It's a kind of player that the team has had. He's only been in the league 4 years, but he can put the puck in that. You know, he's a consistent 25-goal scorer. And that's what you're looking for. He puts points on the board. He's effective on the power play. He can help with the special teams. He's automatically one of the leaders on the ice, one of the guys that these younger guys are going to do, which is what they've needed for so long. So, I mean, I was ecstatic that he signed him. It was a little touch and go there just based on rumors and so forth. You know, the Islanders were in there for a little bit, and Chicago was in there a little bit, and of course, the Panthers had a little bit going with that, but at the end, at least from the way it appeared on free agency, he signed really quick. I mean, free agency started at 12, and I think by 12:25, the news was official that he was going to the Rangers. I think he's an awesome fit. I think definitely him alone, with all the other signings in the offseason that the Rangers have had so far, I don't think you're that rebuild word anymore. I think I don't want to say they're a playoff caliber team with Panarin. They have a much better chance of making the playoffs. They have a much better chance of winning more hockey games. There's a lot more work to be done, but he's that foundation brick in your house that you're building. You've got him now, and I think building around him for years to come, building now with the team that they have, the Rangers are a much better team that ended the season in April.
Yeah, without a doubt. I can see going into the season. I mean, we have to talk about this more in camp where Quinn puts this roster together or Gordon puts this roster together, and we have the preseason games in September. But I could see a solid three-line combination, and it's going to be featuring Panarin and Zibanejad for the most part, because, you know, there's going to be some games that there's going to be a lot of shuffling of the line. But overall, you put him at the wing, you know, you could even have Kreider at the other wing, or probably have Kreider even on the second wing, and that's another story, you know, conversation for another story if we want to have that conversation as far as Chris Kreider and his future. But if you know, we have Buchnevich, who's going through arbitration later this month. We could have him maybe, you know, you could have a little more balance in the top six is what I'm trying to say. So the way I look at it, Zibanejad as your lead center, that, I don't think that's even a question. That's, you know, that's the obvious. So him and Panarin head in that line, that's actually a formidable line You're talking about the power play. You're talking about the rush. You could get two of those three alone. You know, any opposing team, you have to account for those two guys, especially the years of Benajah I had last year and Panarin's consistency since the Blackhawks and the Blue Jackets. So it's a matter of who you want to have on the opposite wing. Probably Buchnevich probably makes the most sense. Kreider probably on the next line, and you know, how whatever his future is going to be with maybe with Ryan Strome, who actually had a good part of the Rangers season when he came over. What kind of line combinations are you looking forward to now that we have Panarin? I'm not before it was more wishful thinking when you had those conversations. Now it's official. What kind of line combinations do you see, RP, specifically in our top six, top nine?
Well, I think obviously you're going to have Zibanejad centering Panarin. And like you're saying, that the right side it could be anyone. It could be Buchnevich. It could be a Kravtsov if he makes the team. You know, let's not forget, you got Kako. Those are all going to be in the top six. Kreider. I think that's just going to make training camp even more interesting. Is let's see what lines Quinn and the coaches come up with and what works and what doesn't work. Like you're saying, Kreider is still up in the air. The Rangers, it's even harder to talk about line combos because the Rangers are going to have to make a move, a trade, a buyout, probably both, because most of their cap that's available right now is going to go to Jacob Trouba. They only have $8 million free, and Trouba's probably going to be in that $7 million range. So the good thing is that since those arbitration hearings that you were just talking about are going to come up, the Rangers are now allowed to have a skin buyout window. Will they use it is the question. The buyouts get really complicated. It's not as simple as, oh, we're just going to buy them out. This year, it doesn't really hurt the club much. If next year, if they buy out a Smith, for instance, it's going to cost them almost $3.5 million next year in dead cap space. Cheaper than if they did a Shattenkirk before everyone starts saying, oh, buy out Shattenkirk. Shattenkirk buyout does not make any sense. But off for a second, line combos, I'm sorry, as you were saying, I think you have to base what you were saying, who are you going to be your four centers? We know it's going to be Zibanejad without a doubt. Excuse me. Hedl's going to be another center for sure. And then after that, it kind of gets a little, is it going to be Elias Sanderson? Is it going to be Brett Howden? Buniyev is still in the mix. So it's going to be a trial and error. It's going to be a lot what happens in the next 6 weeks, 7 weeks until camp starts, what the organization does. But anyway you look at it, Steve, Panarin's your top guy. Panarin and Zibanejad are going to have all the weight on their shoulders. And you know something that's a good thing? Zibanejad's come a long way. I still say he's going to be the next captain of the team. He had a great season last year. He's only 26 years old. He is primed to carry this team the next 4 or 5 years, without a doubt. Panarin's going to be right there next to him. Those guys both do everything for your club. They score. They're on key faceoffs. They're out against top opponents. So what they do with the other lines is really anyone's guess. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun watching them put these puzzles together. You know, the last 2 years we talked about who they're going to put on the ice just to be competitive. And now it's after 2 years, it's fun to be talking in the shop, maybe to make the playoff, to make a strong run. But let's just not forget, there's a lot of young guys on this team, and they're putting a heap of pressure on Kravtsov and Kako, who haven't even played an NHL game yet. So, like we were saying the last time we spoke, you still got to preach to patience. You still got to rely on Quinn to teach these kids how to play a season in the NHL. The good and the bad, they're going to make mistakes. It doesn't matter where they played and what they've done. Those guys haven't played in the NHL. So, a lot of weight on Panarin to lead the way, for Zibanejad to keep doing what he was doing. And for the time being, a lot falls on Chris Kreider. Until the Rangers decide what they want to do, which really has been a quiet time. They really you haven't heard a lot of chatter or rumor about trading players other than when we traded Jimmy Vesey right before the draft, right before free agency, I should say. You haven't heard a lot of what's next. So I'm curious, like every other fan, what are they going to do next? The first step was the arbitration hearings. It gives each side a little bit more time to work out a deal. It gives the Rangers a little bit of time to figure out what they want to do with these other players. It's kind of hard to jump the line combos when you really don't know who those top 12 guys are going to be right now.
Well, I don't know about top 12. I definitely know about the top six, maybe top nine.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying as far as you still want to have a well-rounded, balanced hockey club. You want to have a competitive four-line hockey club. We'll figure that out. September-ish anyway. But as far as the top nine, I think it's pretty much set in stone on paper based off expectations, contracts, so on and so forth. You mentioned Filip Hedl. I think that's a guy who's going to probably move over to center because I don't think the Rangers have that many centers to begin with. So theoretically, yeah. I would say that he would probably be the third-line center. They could really alternate between Stroman and Hedl. It was more about who would Filip Hedl get maximum production. Who would he help benefit more? And I think Nemestikov and maybe somebody like Krasov would probably make the more sense than the alternative, like let's say Chris Kreider. So I think that's kind of my logic. That's not to say that's going to be every night, but I'm just saying on many
right.
nights. Because this thing
well, who do you think your four centers
up.
Would be? Who do you think the four centers would be right now?
Oh, easily. Zibanejad is definitely the top center.
Uh-huh.
Second and third line is between Hedl, Strome, and then the your four centers probably Brad Howden. As of right now.
The only thing is, I don't know if I would have Strome playing center because he's so good on the wing too, and he plays both positions.
Then you got Elias Anderson, either or.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Elias Anderson is probably the biggest question mark center-wise right now on the team. Because if you're going to – you either got to start playing consistently or you got to figure out what you want to do with him. Can't string them along like they did last season. Either you're going to put him in there, even if you're keeping the consistent fourth line all the time, or you know once in a while move up third line or whatever it may be. But I think that's going to be – I mean, to me, that's one of the bigger questions. I think Anderson now, he had last season under his belt, clearly, you know, get accustomed to everything and all. He's developed a little bit slower than Hedl, but then again, he also hasn't had as many opportunities as Hedl. He seems to always be the one that kind of gets pushed down or pushed to the side. So, you know, he's only played 49 games in his career, so you would think now – I would like to see him come up. I would hope they would keep him in the center position. It's interesting. The Rangers have a lot of players in that positions and spots right now. Like, if that's the case, so what do you do with Obunyevs, who's really played well? He's a great fourth-line center, I think. He's that reliable. He's big. He hits. But do they have a place for him now? So it's a kind of interesting situation. It's also the reason why I think they have to move a couple of players. I think they might try to move Nemstikov. I hope they don't move Strom because I think he fits in perfect on this club. He's young, he's fast, he can score, but he does carry a $3 million price tag. He's a restricted free agent at the end of the year with arbitration rights. So that's something that you know you have to keep in mind with all the other contract problems. But it's a great problem to have. Instead of all the past years wondering who are they going to put on the ice, now they actually have a situation which benefits the Rangers. So, I mean, I think – training camp is really going to be for the first time in a while, not just let's see what we have, but it's a real puzzle that he's going to have to put together. And like you're saying, the top six right now, we're going to include Kreider in that, is probably pretty much set. But those other six is going to be a real battle.
Right. Definitely. But when I do look at this roster, we have a lot of young legs. The scoring has theoretically got to go up. So, and I expected to go up.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I don't think that's going to be my concern. I just don't look at this team as, a physical bunch of guys. Don't look at them like that. So that could probably be a little bit of a weakness unless they get a guy that could be physical maybe on that fourth line. You always talk about that Tanner Glass type of guy. I don't see that on that current roster right now. But as far as the Rangers' style of play, it's going to have to be outskate and play smart shifts and not give up the puck. I mean, it's pretty much simple as that. You got to score goals. And defensively, the blunders we've had the last couple of seasons, this is going to have to come to a screeching halt, but it has to really slow down. So on one end, the scoring has to go up, the other end, as far as defensively, you have to play a little bit more sound defense. Not that it has to be this physical team, because I don't think we have this physical defense like some of the other defenses in the league, but you have to play more solid on that end in front of whoever's going to be in net, like Hank or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's what this is what it's looking like. I really like where this is going, RP. I mean, that's the best way I can say it. I am optimistic.
I am optimistic,
especially what, you know, Kako and what he's going to bring. We're going to see him a lot. And I know the pressure is going to be on, but I'm going to be very patient with him and Kratzoff in particular. What about Nemestikov? I mean, I know we've had his struggle since the trade with the Lightning. But what does this do for him? I mean, he kind of hides within this lineup. You think I'm not saying he's going to return to Tampa Bay Lightning form, but what about, you know, him being some sort of impact player now that VC's gone? We'll get to that with the trade with the Buffalo Sabres. What's your thoughts of what other Ranger? I guess that's the question, not even Nemestikov, but what other Ranger gets to fit in nicely, even nicer, because of the additions like Panarin, Kratzoff, Kako? Who do you like, you know, the step up? Is it a Howden? Is it a Nemestikov? So on and so forth.
Well, I think they all now are going to play better knowing what they have. I think, you know, I'm looking at their roster right now, and what we're forgetting is Kratzoff and Kako aren't even on it. When you're looking like on cap friendly and you're looking at everyone breaking down yet, they have a lot of players and a lot of decisions to move. It's going to make everyone better. I think if the Rangers are looking to make a trade and are looking to move someone to free up some cap space, they're probably going to look at moving a Nemestikov. I mean, he's making $4 million, and then he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. And there's the key.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the same spot as Kreider, but I truly believe Kreider was more valuable. So now you have two big-ticket players. You know, a Kreider is 28 years old. He's making 4.6 this year, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. Nemestikov is 26 years old. He's younger. He's making $4 million. But I don't think he's as productive on the ice as a Kreider. And if Kreider could play, and it's always the same thing, Steve, and everyone's spoken about it. If Kreider could find that consistency, you would much rather have him here long-term than Nemestikov. But it's a problem that the Rangers have to address, because at the end of this season, they have five unrestricted free agents, including the new player they got, Greg McKay, who I don't really know a lot about, but he's in the same spot. So the Rangers cannot get into what they did last year with Hayes and Zuccarello. I think, and I'm sure JD is thinking the same thing, because he wants to keep building and moving forward. And you can't have all these questions holding you back and all these transactions that possibly could be holding you back. Because the longer you wait on a decision, let's say for Kreider, the less his value is, because the whole league knows you got to move him. And then what happens is now the Rangers got to trade a guy like Kreider or like Nemestikov and retain the salary, which doesn't help you a lot. So I think these decisions, and I truly think they're going to be made before, a lot of them, I should say, will be made before Jacob Trouba's arbitration hearing. I think it's on the 25th of July. And right after that is Buchnevich, I believe it's on the 29th of July. So the Rangers are going to have to make some moves, because otherwise, I'd be able to, if these players get the award in the players' favor, the Rangers aren't going to have the room to sign them and to accept it. So they're going to have to make moves in the next 2 weeks. Now, of course, the whole league knows that too. So the Rangers have to be going, well, are we going to keep, if we're going to keep Chris Kreider, then re-sign him now for 3 or 4 years. Well, what is that going to cost? You look at what Kevin Hayes signed with Philly. Look what Zuccarello got in Minnesota. The Rangers want to be giving Kreider $4.5 million, $5 million 4 years. I don't know. For him. Everyone else is getting 5 and 6 year contracts. He might want more. So these are the business side of it that Jeff Gorton and JD have to figure out. But they have to figure it out now. You can't wait to the start of the season, because then you're going to have trouble with the arbitration filing. You know, are you going to buy out somebody? If so, who? The Rangers have a lot of defensemen in the organization. They haven't had that much success with Smith. Buying out Shattenkirk, I truly believe, is not even an option. I think you're going to play him the next 2 years, and that'll be a UFA, and that'll be that. Because it's a lot of money buyout-wise. You don't save anything next season. You don't save anything at all if you buy him out now. You're going to pay him 6.5 this year and next year. If you buy him out, it's a 4-year buyout. This year is manageable, it's 1.5 million. But next year, they got to pay him $6.3 million anyway. So why even bother buying out Shattenkirk? Either way, you're stuck with a big ticket next year. Smith's a lot easier and more manageable. He's only going to get $3 million next year as opposed to $4.3 million. So it's a little bit more, not a lot more, but if, between those two, which is what most people are thinking, those would be the two buyout scenarios, you're probably going to lean towards Smith and save some money. So it's great that they signed Panarin, but it put him into a huge salary cap issue, which they anticipated, of course, when they were making him the offer. But now comes the hard part. Who do you move? Can you move Nemtsov after you've seen him the last 2 years coming from Tampa Bay, coming over to the Rangers, and then seeing just how much his offensive production struggled for a guy making $4 million? I mean, he only scored 11 goals last season for the Rangers. And when he came over the year before that, he was only with the team for 19 games, but he only scored 2 goals. So in a year and a half, he's only scored 13 goals. Go back to when he was with Tampa Bay, and he had those great wingers with players on his line, and he had 20 goals, 22 goals. So there was a dramatic drop in his play. I have to say he's not a good hockey player, but I don't think he has a fit on the club now as he did when the Rangers traded for him. So these are the hard parts that I and many other people have plenty of guesses and assumptions, but really have no idea what the organization wants to do other than to say someone's going to have to be traded, if not two players. They're going to have to make roster moves here because you just won't be able to fit everybody. What is Kako going to get for an entry-level contract? There's another thing you have to consider. So there's a lot
right.
Which is probably why he hasn't signed yet. Fans should think, oh, they're having trouble signing these guys. The Rangers can't do a lot until they make some trades or buyouts. And they're not allowed to do the second buyout, I think it's August 1st or 2nd, because it's based on the free agency filing, the arbitration filing that Schuber and Buchnevich just filed for. So there's kind of rules that you have to manipulate around. And that's why the Rangers haven't really done anything since free agency. Because they haven't really, I don't want to say they haven't figured it out. They're just not able to. You can't sign Kako now because then you can't sign Truva now. So you have to do things, I guess, in a certain order. And then to do anything else, you're going to have to free up some space. So this is why a lot of things kind of came to a screeching halt after the Panarin deal. Up until that point, they've had an incredible offseason. I mean, you signed Chesterkin, your Giants craft stuff. You brought in, you traded for Adam Fox. You got Truva, you got Panarin, and you got Kako. I mean, you look at where we were in April, where you are now, well, what a difference this club is. Even if Chesterkin doesn't start, he's going to be up on the club sometime next year. I'm convinced of that, too. I truly believe that Gorgiev, whether they sign him now or let him go to the end of the season, is going to be the one that gets traded out of the three goaltenders, mainly because of the expansion draft requirement, mainly because Hank isn't going nowhere for the next 2 years. And I think Hank should be mentoring whoever the Rangers think is going to be the guy to replace him. And right now, everyone's believing it'll be Chesterkin, which leads you to, you know, other things. Do you trade him? Don't you trade him? I'm speaking, of course, of Gorgiev. So there's a lot going on business side that causing everything kind of come to a screeching halt right now. But you're going to see things kicking up really quick. I mean, tomorrow's July 10th. It's only 15 days to the arbitration hearing. I think you're going to see the Rangers making some moves, probably going to retain some salary because I just don't see another club taking a whole $4 million for Nemtsov if they can trade him, which I'm sure they could. He has a lot of skill. He's a great skater. He can play all three forward positions. He's just no longer that good of a team that he once was.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean, if that happens to be the case, as of right now, him being a potential third liner, the way I see it with Hedo, if they find a way to get something for him, so be it. But if I was to have my pick, of course I'm keeping Kreider. I mean,
oh yeah.
Like I told you before, even before the last trade deadline between Zuccarello and Hayes, I would rather have kept Hayes. They didn't keep either. It's almost a similar situation of Kreider, where Kreider is the more homegrown Ranger.
Oh sure.
And we always talk about his consistency. I don't even know if that homegrown stuff even flies anymore. Maybe it does with certain players, some it doesn't. Depends on your longevity. I mean, we've seen Corey Perry leave the Ducks. We've seen Joe Pavelski leave the Sharks. So, I mean, anybody could be moved or move on to another franchise. On it.
Oh,
in the case of Chris Carter, he's relatively still young. And he brings that different dimension of a Ranger that none of the other guys have as far as forwards, because he's more of the two-way guy, I think, that's currently on the roster, because he's a big guy. He can hit, he can skate fast, and he can score. And I think when we were talking about consistency, and I understand your point, I thought last year he was actually all right when it came down to consistency. I thought he was a leader.
I thought he was good through the second half of the season. I think toward the end of the season, he didn't score nearly as much as he did in the first half of the season. And that could be a bunch of reasons why. You know, the team was struggling. There was a lot to it. I think, though, unfortunately, in this day and age, it comes down to the money. It really does. Because look at this. Buchnevich is probably going to get between $2.8 and $3.4 million a year for at least 2 years. Maybe 3 years. Now, if he's getting that, what is Kreider going to be asking for? And that's where I think the Rangers' dilemma is. Trying to value Kreider now with a whole season ago, what are you going to pay him? What is he looking for? You know, it might be when the two sides just aren't even close. And, yeah, it's hard to negotiate a whole year in advance, but they have to. Because you don't want to drag him all the way through to February and then you dump him for draft picks. Even if it's a first round pick, it's kind of a waste. You can get more out of him. You can get more out of him now. So I think the Rangers have to know what their long term plan is. Keep Kreider, he's a much better fit on this team than anyone else we've discussed trading. You know, you also have to look at the guys that they have to give contracts to. Never mind Trouba and Buchnevich, because they were salary arbitrated. But now you have Brendan Lemieux, who has to be signed now. And there's someone you definitely don't want to see move. Anthony D'Angelo is a restricted free agent. He has to be signed. So the Rangers, in theory, have to sign four players right now before they do anything else other than clear up some cap space. So you have to make the decision on what you want to do with Kreider now because of the $4.6 million he has. Same thing with Nemstikov. I mean, I've heard rumors that I'm looking to move Ryan Strome, which you really don't want them to move, but he's a big ticket now, too. Can you get what's the value in trading with Strome? Now, I don't think they should trade Strome because he's fantastic on a penalty kill. You can put him on a power play. You can put him on the second line. He's a versatile player. The players look up to him. He's young, so age-wise, he fits right into this core, right where you want him to be. So it's an interesting problem. And it seems like it's weird, Steve. It seems like it's all coming to a head in the next 10 days. It's all going to come to a head. So, I mean,
we'll find out.
Part of the game, but it's really hard to decide. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Do you trade an Anthony D'Angelo after you finally, the way he ended the season, when I think the whole structure was developed with David Quinn and they got him playing the game that they wanted him to play, and he looked strong on the power play. He was confident on the ice. Now, to me, is the worst time to trade him. He's only 23 years old. So, in my opinion, you got to keep him. But they're back off on the blue line. They have a lot of players on the blue line. I mean, who would your sixth defenseman be right now? For me, it would definitely be Trouba and Shea.
Right.
It's going to be
Shattenkirk.
It's going to be Shattenkirk and D'Angelo. I'm assuming D'Angelo is going to be on. And then when you have or Fox and Levi Hayek, or maybe you're going to put Fox with Shattenkirk and Mark Stahl with Levi Hayek. Those are going to be the six. Stahl's going to be here. He's not going to be bought out. He's got two more years left on his contract. So Stahl's in. So Stahl, Trouba, and Shea, those three. I'm saying Shattenkirk's not going to be brought out. That's four. Who are the other two defensemen? Probably going to be Levi Hayek and Anthony D'Angelo, which means you got to buy Smith out. You're not going to bury him in the minors with that contract. That's a waste. So
right, you see
the dilemma the Rangers have. You see, now, mind you, if they're going to do a buyout with Smith, it's a little bit easier. If they're going to trade, let's say, a Kreider, we're going to know about it ahead of time because he's got a modified no-trade clause. So he has to give a list of teams an 11-team no trade list would have to be issued. And you know that's going to leak out once he does that. We're assuming Buffalo might have been on that list because there was a rumor that he was going to be traded at the draft and it fell through. There was no confirmation of that, but there was a lot of that chatter going around social media around the time. So, you know, we'll get little hints and all, but as great as it is, the Rangers are really up against the cap. They're really up against the cap. So, you know, and they're already in the middle of paying off a buyout on Dan Girardi. We're talking about dead cap space. This year, the Rangers have to pay out over $3 million to Dan Girardi, $3.6 million from when they bought him out. So sometimes buyouts are great for the first year. They kind of bite you in the ass a little bit later. Here, I'm sure the Rangers are going,
and
then we could have just traded Girardi, you know. If we could have traded Girardi, we could have $3.5 million more. That's the first year for Buchnevich if we needed to. You know what I'm saying? They could allocate that so much better. So as nice as the buyouts are, and they double your contract, so it has 2 years left, it's going to make it a four-year buyout. And this year and years three and four is like $1.5 million or $1.7 million they would have to pay him. But next year is over $3 million. It's a lot of money. Look at it this way. If you bought out Smith, he's $3 million next year. Dan Girardi, the Rangers still have to pay him another $1.1 next year. Now you're already $4 million in dead space next year. So as great as
it is
this year to help, and that's what the whole problem is. That's what the whole problem is. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be talking about moving people in trades.
But here's the thing, though. You would think they had figured that all out when they knew they were going to get Panarin. I mean, they have to have a plan. I mean, they would not have
signed
them without.
I'm sure they had a plan. The problem is you could say I'm going to trade player A, B, and C, but now it might be hard to move player A, B, and C because the rest of the league, first off, knows you have to move because the rest of the league knows you're up against the cap. So as much as the plan was there, let's say plan A was – we're going to trade Nemstikov, and he's making $4 million. Now they're going to teams to trade him, and they're all saying, well, you have to eat 75% of his salary. Well, that doesn't really help the Rangers. So you don't know how well that plan is maneuvering. In the other case, maybe you're right, Steve. They may have it all worked out, and they just haven't executed anything yet. Or maybe they have some things in the works.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And they're waiting. Yeah,
that's what
I don't know. Very well. I'm sure they had an idea of where they want to go, but as fans and bosses and as people on this side looking at the math, it's damn complicated. It's really complicated because you want, you know, it'll affect. Oh, it's great. It's so. I mean, I could stare at cap friendly all day trying to figure out who should they move, who shouldn't they move. I don't want to move this one. We shouldn't move that one. But at the end of the day, it's a horrible math problem. Absolutely. And a guy like JD has a great reputation in the NHL. He always has. So if they're looking to make moves, he has a lot of people he can reach out to get a feel of what the heck's going on, which he probably did those 3 weeks before free agency started. So you're probably right about that. They probably had it planned A, B, and C. And they haven't executed it yet. They haven't rolled it yet. And I guess there were a lot of rumors going, Steve, that the Rangers purposely had Buchnevich and Trouba file for salary arbitration after they signed Panarin so that they could get the second buyout window. Because remember, if they signed outright Trouba and Buchnevich without them filing for arbitration, they couldn't get another buyout. They lost that buyout window and that was it. And the Rangers didn't take the buyout because that was prior to free agency, and they weren't sure what Panarin was going to do. So there's a lot to the cat and mouse game, which is pretty cool to check out and reading. Oh, wow, that's pretty smart of them. I mean, the Rangers didn't do anything wrong. It's not collusion or nothing. If they're the players right to do it, who knows? Gordon or someone in the organization went to these guys, file arbitration, we've been talking to your agent. And for the Rangers, they very, very rarely go through the arbitration hearing. I think they did it once in 2003. I forgot the name of the player, or 2009. And the player filed, and the Rangers said no to it and became an unrestricted free agent. And other than that, they have had plenty of players file. But I think that's only one maybe in the last 10, 12 years that they sat down, you know, with the arbitrator and went back and forth and waited and got a decision and didn't go with it. So it's not like the Rangers aren't in familiar territory. They're in the spot every year like everyone else is.
Every year, it's
going to be a lot of fun. Oh, yeah, it's part of – it's the game. It's never going to get nasty. I don't – especially with Trouba. The Rangers really don't have anything bad to say about Trouba if they went to arbitration for the hearing itself. They traded for the guy 3 weeks ago. They showed how much they wanted him. So how do you go into a hearing and now badmouth him? Or say – or not badmouth him,
right?
So much – show the negative, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could see that with Buchnevich because he's been here. Yeah, but you're not going to do that with Trouba, so it was an automatic kind of deal, but it protects the player. That's why Trouba, another reason why the player, if you can get that, why wouldn't you file? It gives more pressure for the two sides to get together and come up with something, and it gives them a little bit of a safety net. Sort of like what the Rangers went on doing with Hayes. He filed and agreed, so they could only sign him to a one-year deal. And then, unfortunately, they had to move on from him. So that's not going to happen with these two guys, but it's the cat and mouse game. So it's kind of interesting just to see how it's all going to unfold. They're still going to have trouble on D. I know we haven't spoken about a lot of it. They're not going to get another – I mean, they got Trouba that they're not going to afford another strong defenseman, but they're going to have to get a lot better on defense, like you were saying. And right now, out of all of them, unfortunately, Shattenkirk's probably the biggest liability out of all the D-men right now. And I'm putting Smith on the side because we really don't know what we're doing with them. They got a lot of young guys. Everyone believes Adam Fox is going to make the team. A lot of people believe Hayek's going to make the team. So Quinn's going to have a tough time. There just aren't that many roster spots open. So it's going to be a fun camp. I'm really looking forward to seeing these guys on the ice because they really got a lot to play for in preseason this year.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to Shattenkirk, you know, I'm not one of those Rangers fans that's really down on him like most people are or most fans are. I still think – I know he hasn't lived up for the most part, but at the same time, the whole team hasn't. So it's kind of like a yin to the yang. I think Shattenkirk still has a lot of value to the squad, especially when it comes to handling the puck. He's a righty shot and can play the point, especially on the power play. I mean, with this, you can still have a power play unit, plural, whether you have Trouba on the one unit or Shattenkirk on another, and you can actually alternate them. So my thing is, like, you still have value in Shattenkirk when you look at him defensively and he has his woes. And, you know, I think this unit – under Quinn will actually play a little bit better. It's not where it needs to be or where it should be, but I think because of the added scoring and, the scoring on paper, let's put it like that, that we expect that this Rangers team is going to happen to have, is going to take a little bit of pressure off the defense because that's the issue with the Rangers because you could have scored and you were always on your heels. You was always on the defense, going up against teams on the rush and terrible turnovers. Because if you don't have the guys that can go out there and get you the goals and skate up and go in the end in the way they want to do in Quinn's offense, and you really don't have no shot. And defensively, you're pretty much a lame duck. You're pretty much dead. You're pretty much dead meat defensively, especially with the quality of guys that we have. But to even go further with your point as far as the arbitrations and stuff, even with VC, you know, when he got traded to Buffalo, officially we were off on the bye week. You know, they gave up the third round. I mean, this was all in the plan. I mean, you know, Panarin was coming, so VC, his contract would have been up the year after. They figured that he would, they were better off on their way. They probably get something more value. You talked about McKeag coming over from Carolina. To be honest with you, I know he was on the Carolina Hurricanes, and I think we seen him play in the Islanders series, and he had a goal in that game. Didn't really see a lot of McKeag, because I don't know how much he's going to be able to compete for one of those roster spots or just competition in camp in particular. There's a lot of you definitely made the right call as far as moving pieces. I mean, especially this year because of the contract. I mean, my whole thing is, I believe Gorton and Davidson. I think you definitely respect, and I definitely respect. He's a true hockey guy, a Ranger goalie back in the day. I mean, we would definitely believe he knows what he's doing, along with Gordon.
Yeah.
I think Gordon has pushed the right buttons, and I think they have a plan. I mean, would not sign that guy for that amount of money if they didn't think they would have the moving pieces like they've done, you know, acquiring Trouba, and sending Pianca on this way, and Jimmy Vesey going to Buffalo, a team that originally had him before they gave up his rights to Nashville, ironically for the third-round pick. It's kind of crazy how the world works like that. But nonetheless, I mean, we could get into I was going to wait and get to the defense part later on. I'm just looking at it as far as what we have as far as names. Because I think some of these guys are going to see ice time, and I think the Rangers are going to figure it out. I don't have any doubt. They don't give me any reason to see why they would not get the some of these things done, unless it's talking about trades and buyouts, which is probably going to be part of the package. I think it's going to be somebody like a Brendan Smith. And then if it is a domestic coffin, you said all the points, and we've talked about it all season last year. You know, he's playing with a team that's not as talented as that top line, and the Lightning knew it, and they used us. But it cost us conditional picks, and it didn't work out for our favor. So, hey, it is what it is. What else would I want to say with this, Rod? I'm just thoroughly excited because, to me, RP, this is really more about the Rangers going to get back to some scoring, man. I mean, they've had their identity taken away from them over the years when guys started leaving this team. You can go back to the Tortorella teams where they were more defensive-minded. Le'Veon, they started to score a lot more, and especially with the Rick Nash teams with Zuccarello and Stepan and Broussard, those type of guys, they're scoring at will. Then some of those guys started to leave the team, and then you had the Grabners, who was excellent two-way as far as scoring, especially third and fourth lines. And then, you know, defensively on a penalty kill, he was a monster. We had to let him go. We had to get him traded to the Devils. This is more about putting less pressure off the defense because we're going to bring more scoring to the table. And Panarin brings that. And I think, you know, the Rangers, they're going to have to do what they got to do as far as making these contracts work. And I think they're going to figure it out. It's a matter of what they're going to do, what we think they're going to do. And I think you hit pretty much most of what they probably are going to do. So it's just pretty much a wait and see, like you said, in the next, week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. Oh, RP had dropped. We'll have Ranger Proud come back on. I didn't even know he dropped. I was explaining my thoughts to the New York Rangers. I'm very optimistic, man. RP, I don't know what happened, man. He dropped. I have no idea what happened. But, yeah, I'm really optimistic.
I don't know. Yeah, I lost.
Make a long story short. No, it's all good. No, around the rest of the league, I mean, we talked about our team. You know, there's a couple of other teams. But before we get to the other team, let's talk about the rest of the team. I mean, Keandre Miller is probably going back. He is going back to Wisconsin for another season. You talk about other Ranger players that's in and out. As far as, you know, is it going to be a Hartford thing or going back to school thing? I think we got the majority of the guys that's going to be there. This trade there. I'm not seeing. You talked about McKay, probably compete for a spot, got him over from the Carolina Hurricanes. It's same thing with Adam Fox. RP, I don't see anything else unless you talk about the Stahl bio. It's probably about $3.5 million. I think we've pretty much covered the majority of what the Rangers are probably going to do in the next couple of weeks. What, anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I got a question for you. Does
all
these moves make Lundqvist better?
Yes.
Here's the thing
about Henry. I think Henry Lundqvist to me is a prideful player. He's been a very loyal Ranger as far as soldier. He's taken the brunt of criticisms when it's a lot of it's not his fault. So before I get into a long-winded spiel, maybe I can explain it more in the next episode. I think he's going to be energized, man, because he comes off to me as a guy, he really embraces that blue shirt jersey, man. And I think, he still has a little bit left in the tank. He's not what he was back in, let's say, I don't know, 6 years ago, 5 years ago. But the guy can still play a little bit, man. I mean, I think it's going to energize him. I think this definitely will make him better. What do you think about that?
Oh, I do. I think if Quinn plays him the right way, meaning don't overplay him in the first half of the season and then really get him going in the second half and the team plays to where we hope that they can play, I think he has a run in him. I mean, you would hope he gets one more shot, at least in the playoffs, never mind towards a cup. I think the team is almost there, and I say that mainly because we're putting a lot of hope into a lot of young guys in their first and second year in the NHL, a second-year coach. There's a lot of factors that you can't really foresee what's going to happen. But, I mean, he's a great goaltender. He gets a bad rap because he hasn't won a Stanley Cup, and I think that's unjustified. I mean, everybody wants to win, but everybody doesn't win. You know, we've talked about that before. So I think he's a quality goalie. I still think he's up there in the top seven in the league. I mean, there are some goalies that are better and had some really hot runs in the playoffs, as you always talk about and all. But I think where they are now, he's got to be gung-ho to get back on the ice. I think this is the best he's probably felt since the whole letter came out with the rebuild. And I know they're professionals and he's making a ton of money, but they're all human beings. And you want to know something? When the team is struggling, we talk about all these other guys struggling the second half of these seasons when the games really meant nothing. Well, how do you think he felt? And he's a prideful guy, like you said. I'm sure it killed him that he didn't get the 30-win season last year. It's always his personal, goal. And I'm sure he wants to get another one just to show that, that he can do it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him more focused and maybe a little bit less pressure on him. You know, if the puck's in their end of the ice, they can't shoot and score against us, regardless of how good or bad the defense is. And I think the team is going to have many more offensive opportunities. And I think that's going to help him in net be a little bit sharper, have a little bit less scoring chances on him, and maybe get some more wins out of it.
Right on. I agree with that. I definitely do agree with that. So that is pretty much it for our squad. Around the league, I mean, teams that really caught my eye as far as the acquisitions around the same time we got Panarin, RP, the Florida Panthers are making some nice moves. We already know the signing of the Bobrovsky. We talk about Quenneville going there as him and that general manager had a little bit of history before he left Chicago. But Florida, getting Strawman, I know he's been around the block, goes down there to Florida, quick from Tampa to Sunrise, Florida. I think the Panthers defensively are stacking up. I think the Buffalo Sabres are really making some moves. I know you can add in the Jimmy Vesey move, whatever plans they have with him, making the trade for Nylander. Is there any other teams around the league? We saw guys like I mentioned it earlier, like Corey Perry leaving the Ducks. I mean, guys who've been with these squads forever, man. Pavelski leaving. Zuccarello with the Wild. Any other moves around the league that pretty much caught your eye? Anders Lee, Islanders.
I thought the Kevin Hayes signing in Philly was a wow moment. I thought, there goes Philadelphia overpaying again. I mean, Hayes is a good hockey player, but they gave Kevin Hayes some contract that caused other teams fits because of the money that they signed him. I'm trying to look up exactly what it was. I was surprised. I wasn't surprised so much that he went back to Les Mignons, but he didn't play his best hockey. He had some good years. He never, you always heard stories back and forth. So, but I thought overall, just as a signing, I think the Kevin Hayes signing caused the Rangers more trouble with Chris Kreider because he saw, wow, look what this guy got. I mean, I can, what I'm saying? He's saying probably, well, then I can get that. So it was an interesting signing that caught my eye almost immediately when he made that deal. So the Zuccarello deal to Minnesota, we all knew he wasn't coming to the Rangers. Apparently him and Dallas were about $1 million apart. And I don't care what anyone says, Dallas knowing that we would get their first round draft pick if they re-signed him had something to play in it. That's just my opinion. Because $1 million isn't a lot of money. You're telling me they couldn't come meet halfway and figure something out? I think a lot of it has to do with the repercussions of, hey, you're going to lose your first-round draft pick next year if you sign them. So it is what it is. the Islanders really didn't make a lot of moves. I was from a Rangers standpoint, and just from a hockey player standpoint, I was glad that, they signed Anders Lee. He repeated a million times that he wanted to remain in the island with the Islanders. It made him wait a little bit, but that is a great signing. He's their captain. It's a good fit. He's going to win them a lot of games. On the flip side to it, I'm sure we're all surprised what happened with their goaltender, Lettner, not being able to work out a deal when he insisted he wanted to stay. There was a lot of back and forth that he never got an offer from the Islanders. The Islanders said that he did. So I thought that was strange. Their goaltending situation's a little not nearly as strong as it was. So that's another thing, especially that they're in our division, that caught my eye. You know, some of the other teams, they make a lot of moves. Columbus definitely hurting, but what team wouldn't be hurting when you lose Bobrovsky and Panarin? Before you look at anything else, they went all in last year. We've talked about that. They took their best shot. It didn't work out. And then they lost both the players, which most people knew was going to happen. So they definitely have dropped down. Carolina's still looking strong. So I didn't follow a lot on the West. I see the Golden Knights are having trouble with Guinea, if I believe his name is. They can't really fit him on underneath their cap. They can't come together on a deal. He would fit great with the Rangers, but the Rangers are up against the wall with the salary cap. So I doubt that's going to happen. So they have some maneuverability. You know, and other than that, there wasn't – I mean, there were a lot of signings and a lot of moves. I was more or less focused on what our guys were doing and what was going on in the Metropolitan Division. So now it's just, you know, we can't forget the Devils. P.K. Subban, Jack Hughes, they've definitely stepped up a notch. Taylor Hall's going to be healthy. They did lose Kincaid, their goaltender. I forgot what team he went to. I just saw it, too, off the top of my head. But he moved on. So they're in a little bit of a goaltending situation with the Devils now because they have to see, you know, what's going on. I'm sorry, Kincaid went to Montreal to back up Corey Price.
Corey Price.
So, yeah, you know, the Devils are going to have a situation in that now. Schneider, I believe, is still their goaltender, and they're going to have to – they're on their way, though. I mean, I'm a big P.K. Subban fan. I know he's sometimes overrated and all, but he brings so much energy to the team. I mean, you want to watch the Devils now, even though we hate that he's on the Devils because that's just kind of player he is. Jack Hughes is going to do wonders for that team. We all know that. The same with Kako with the Rangers. So, all in all, it's been a really good time for hockey. I've got to tell you, considering, you know, normally the offseason is touch and go, it was a good NHL draft. A lot of free agent signings. There's a lot going on free agent day. So now it's that – now this is the dull. These next 6 weeks, other than some contract situations and all, we wait. But from an NHL standpoint, a lot of teams improved. What you said about Corey Perry – I read the general manager, Duck, says it was like the toughest decision he ever had to make buying him out, but it was a business decision. They both went with it, you know, they accepted it, and now Nevermind is going to have a good chunk of money with him. Now he'll see, you know, what was it, the Dallas Stars signed him? Dallas is going to have a good squad.
Yeah, it's Dallas.
Dallas is going to have a good squad there. You know, I'm sure they're kicking us a little bit that Zuccarello left because he would have really been flying on that team. But Dallas is going to be strong. But then again, Minnesota is going to be strong. They got a lot of good players over there. So overall, you know, the buyouts, when you're the player and the team, it hurts. But then a guy like Perry gets to start, not start over, but sometimes after almost 1,000 games, getting a new environment can really jumpstart you.
Hey, man.
You know,
Pavelski.
And Pavelski, too. Correct. I'm sorry. Here's another one.
Right.
That was a real surprising thing that the way it went down, that it was good when he was playing. He got hurt. He came back. And then all of a sudden his name started coming up in buyouts. And that was just another contract then. I mean, all of these moves, these players wouldn't be moved or bought out if it wasn't for the contract that they signed earlier in their careers with those teams. I mean, 13 years he played in San Jose. He played almost 1,000 games with them, 963. A solid hockey player, 34 years old. He scored 38 goals last year. I mean, San Jose is going to have trouble replacing that offense. I mean, you look at a 34-year-old, 38 goals, 26 points, assists. He had 64 points in 75 regular season games last year. What more could he do to earn his keep on that? It was just, for whatever reason, San Jose decided they were with the cap, and that was the move that they decided to make. Very surprised, I got to be honest with you. That's the player. I mean, you got a guy scoring 38 goals, the Rangers would be all over. They would, you know what I'm saying? But
you know,
it's how it is. He gets to stay in the West. He knows the teams. I think he's going to really drive over there.
Yeah, that's a very competitive division, like we already identified as well. The other trade of the Avalanche, Joe Sakic was making a lot of moves, man. The trade with the Maple Leafs, they want no parts of the Tyson Berry contract. They get Kadri back from the Maple Leafs, and Kerfoot goes to the Maple Leafs as well, because I think that replaces Nylander on a smaller scale. But, man, even the moves they made with the Sharks as well, with Edward Belmare from the Vegas Golden Knights, man. I mean, Joe Sakic was on his thing last week, man, with acquisitions and moves with Colorado. But to me, Buffalo and Florida – especially Florida, because I think there's a little bit of a culture shift happening with Quenneville that I'm starting to see with the goalie. I'm starting to see with the defenseman that they picked up. And then Buffalo, I mean, I think they're tired of just saying, all right, this is another year we're going to play for the draft, or whatever you want to call it, man. I mean, they picked up Johansson, who was a rental in Boston, who actually had a good second-round series that we identified in the playoff episode. So, you know, Adam Vesey, we'll see what they can get out of Vesey. And then I think they kind of hate the fact that they let Ryan – not saying let, but they traded Ryan O'Reilly to St. Louis Blues. And look what happened. They get a Stanley Cup. So I think now it really woke up the Buffalo brass, man.
But I tell you, the whole Western Conference made a lot of moves. All the teams that you were naming just now, Nashville, Winnipeg, St. Louis, Dallas, Colorado – Minnesota, you know, Calgary's been making moves. San Jose, the Golden Knights. The West, those guys aren't sitting back. They're not waiting to see what happens. They all are trying to be aggressive. They're all trying to improve. I mean, I think that's great for hockey in general. I think for all those fan bases, you got to be like, wow, they didn't sit back on their heels. That we're trying to get better. We're trying to move on. And I think that's what you want to see. I think that's great because the West has been strong. They played really good hockey the last couple of years, and that's what you want to see. And when you look on the East, some teams didn't do a lot. I mean, Philadelphia did sign Hayes. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know if the Capitals made a lot of moves. I don't remember really seeing a lot of Washington Capitals going back and forth. The Penguins are trying. They traded Phil Kessel. That's been a back-and-forth thing for a season or two now, so it finally happened. Philadelphia, like we said, made a move. You know, it's nice to see the bottom of the Metropolitan Division, the Devils, the Rangers, the Flyers, they all made moves to try to improve a little bit. Columbus kind of is stumbling down now. So when you look at the East, the playoff battle next year is going to be really improved. Even if the Rangers don't make the playoffs, they're not going to be at the level that they were the last two seasons. They're going to be pushing the envelope all the way through. So I think the Metro Division, again, is going to be one of the toughest divisions in hockey. When you go to the Atlantic side, a lot of those teams didn't do a lot. I mean, Buffalo made some moves. Ottawa's in a free fall. Detroit's trying and hadn't done a lot. Buffalo, we already said, is really trying. I think the most improved in the Atlantic is the Florida Panthers. I mean, the Panthers knew what they wanted to do and then went out and did it. You know, Luongo retired. They traded Rima. And then they went and signed Bobrovsky. They knew exactly what they wanted to do. Bang, and they went and did it. They're definitely in the playoff contention now. They are more playoff ready than the Rangers are, if you're going to compare those two kind of clubs. So I think the Eastern Conference is this year is really making moves. I think they're all tired of seeing the same team in the playoffs. You know, Tampa Bay, they lost Aaron Strowman. They haven't really taking that step off that, you know, they still have Stamkos and Kucherov. There's not that much offensively you need to improve. But you know something? When a team has one of the best regular seasons in the history of the NHL and you get knocked out in the first round of playoffs, you need to make moves. Because as good as the team is, you didn't go anywhere. You could say it all you want. The bottom line is you got to get at least to the finals with that team last year, and they didn't come close. You know, 128 points, only 16 losses in a regular season, and then you get beat up in the playoffs like that. The things got to change. So Toronto is a team, Steve, that you haven't spoken a lot about, other than the last trade with Colorado and Padre and all. They're not like the powerhouse everyone thought they were going to be when they got Tavares. I don't know if the Austin Matthews-Tavares thing is working out or not. They both had their little slumps here and there. So this season, I'm really curious to see what Babcock can then do to get them to come out of it, to get them to step up, because they have to find a way to get better now. I mean, they had a 100-point season last year, and it's still considered a major failure, but that's how hockey is in Canada, so.
Yeah. One more quick point because we're out of time. Another time that we did not mention it within our own division. I mean, do not underestimate Wayne Simmons going to the Devils fact that if you could see a power play unit, probably a PK Subban, Jack Hughes, Taylor Hall, and Simmons. Wow, you got a screener, mm-hmm. shooter, playmaker, and point man. Legit. Legit at every angle of the power play. RP, can you give us a final thoughts on this? You know, it was a great dialogue, man. Just picking up where we left off, man. We're going to have a lot to discuss with all these teams, especially our squad.
Absolutely. You know something I keep saying, but it is a great time to be a Ranger fan, guys. We struggled the last 2 years and saw a lot of familiar faces move on and this and that. And you see what they did from the end of April just to today. What a dramatic improvement. But just remember, they're young. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to hit that wall midseason when these guys aren't used to playing 50 games, NHL quality, hard-hitting style of hockey. So let's just give them a playoff spot here. It's a lot of hard work that's going to be lying ahead. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. But it's going to be a roller coaster. There's going to be a lot of down times too, a lot of bad plays, a lot of mistakes. And we really have to rely on David Quinn to keep teaching the way he did last year, to keep communicating and to keep pushing the right buttons to bring the best out of every player, because they're going to need that. They're going to need some really strong coaching this year.
Indeed, indeed. For Ranger Proud, a Ring podcast for Ranger Proud, a Ranger Proud writer for Elite Sports New York, and, of course, Ranger Proud on Twitter, and, of course, the Facebook page Ranger Proud. Our prison has been nice to talk, which will be back next Tuesday. We have all summer to get through our roster, everybody else's roster, and a lot of moving pieces. Probably some things we probably let slip through the cracks, but I look forward to the hockey dialogue, man, for every Tuesday, rest of this summer, man. Good talk with you, man.
Absolutely.
And, this episode, of course, is on iTunes, Podcast Republic, tuning in Stitcher as BleeBlueShow.com, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud here on the Bleed Blue Show. RP, Sangre Azul. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.